We tend to take the view that every investment decision has an impact, whether it be intended or unintended, positive or negative. And increasingly, I'm having many conversations with our clients about how their investments are impacting the world around us.
Welcome to The Greener Way. I'm your host, Rosemary Petrus, Senior Journalist at FS Sustainability. We are recording on Gadigal land and we pay our respects to traditional custodians of country and elders past, present and emerging. A high net worth individual is someone with 2.5 million in liquid assets, not including property and superannuation. When you think of high net worth investors, you probably think of fast cars, designer bags and all-inclusive vacations. The last place your mind likely turns is to their interest in sustainable investing. But according to Amanda McDonald, high net worth investors are increasingly looking to make an impact in their portfolios. At the same time, though, the global sustainable investing landscape is changing, experiencing pushback, and becoming increasingly politicized. So how does this impact the responsible investment goals of high net worth investors? LGT Crestone's head of sustainable investing, Amanda McDonald, joins us on the podcast today. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Amanda, tell us about this trend. Are high net worth investors now looking to sustainability and responsible investing? And what has facilitated this interest?
I think our high net worth clients have always had an interest in sustainability. It's not always the case, but it certainly can be a function of their upbringing, a function of their value of their wealth. And increasingly, they are looking to do good. And it's not just about investment returns. It's increasingly becoming about how they can actually have an impact with their capital in a positive way. And really just considering the impact of their investment decisions, because we tend to take the view that every investment decision has an impact, whether it be intended or unintended, positive or negative. And increasingly, I'm having many conversations with our clients about how their investments are impacting the world around us, because we see the outcomes day to day. You know, if we see capital flowing towards solutions like we've seen with the AI boom, for example, you know, investors can make money. And I think that increasingly we are seeing this idea of how allocation of capital can impact outcomes.
What kind of investments are they looking to make? And do you think that they have a strong understanding of what ESG and responsible investing is?
I certainly think it's getting better than it used to be. I think the whole market, just generally outside of our clients, is moving to a place where we have a more standardized set of rules or a framework, I suppose, around defining responsible investment or sustainable investment or ESG or ethical investing. Those terms have historically been used to replace each other for many, many years. And I think we are moving towards a framework where we're actually going to have a standardized approach, which is going to be very helpful for investors in general. I think that increasingly the language around sustainable investing is becoming more normalized in the sense that people understand it. So definitely our clients are more and more becoming aware of what it means. I would say, though, obviously with the recent Trump inauguration and all of the policies that he's enacting around ESG in particular, DE&I initiatives and climate, you know, the politicization is becoming a real issue. So we do try and move away completely from some of those terms like ESG. You know, we think that those factors absolutely still matter, if not now more than ever, but the term itself has just become so polarizing that we tend to use the term sustainable investing. And really what that is just investing for a more sustainable future in whatever area that may be.
Are there key sectors that high net worth individuals are looking to invest in?
I would say prior to the Trump inauguration, there was a huge focus on the energy transition, and we still think that that's going to be the case. But his, I guess, inauguration and the policies that he has enacted has certainly ushered a period of uncertainty. So we are at the moment recommending a cautious approach to energy transition infrastructure and things like that as we wait to see the implications of his policy, you know, shift in policy direction out of the US. He's done this before. He's withdrawn from the Paris Agreement before. This is nothing new. We've been here, done that. Europe didn't follow suit last time. China didn't follow suit last time. So we still think that there's absolutely, the energy transition is happening. The electrification of everything is happening anyway, regardless of what Trump decides to do. But, you know, we are more cautious on infrastructure. Critical minerals was a huge focus for clients, and we still think that that is going to be the case, even if we see a pause in energy transition infrastructure. I should say not pause, a delay. What we will see is those critical minerals are still required in all pieces of infrastructure, computing infrastructure, quantum computing, all of those things that are forward-facing trends, regardless of ESG or the politicization of ESG. So we think that critical minerals is still a pretty important focus, but I do think that investors need to understand commodity cycles and understanding how critical minerals are still commodities. They are still impacted by market cycles, supply and demand dynamics that impact that part of the market. So ensuring that you have a complete, you know, an appropriate investment due diligence framework around any investment decisions still, as always, remains very important.
I want to focus in more on that point that you made about the politicization of ESG and Trump's return to the White House. Mm. You foresee this having quite a significant impact on high net worth investors and their investment strategies. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously, attention-grabbing headlines absolutely impacts all investors, regardless of whether it's sustainability or ESG. I think Trump very successfully weaponized the term ESG and DE&I during his campaign, and it's actually those things that probably helped him, get into the White House. But I would say that the very factors that, you know, the very issues that ESG initiatives are trying to address, things like inequality, poverty, climate change, they're not going away. Those issues are still very prevalent today. And the people that are trying to solve those for the greater good aren't going anywhere. It's just a delay, I suppose, in the process that Trump is potentially going to enact. You know, we try to encourage our investors to look beyond the headlines and the noise. If we think of just things like DE&I or diversity, equity, and inclusion, I should say, you know, if we look at Trump's front row at his inauguration, he had five of the richest men in America who all are either the leaders, the CEOs on the board, on the chairs of some of the five biggest mega cap, you know, social media tech companies in the world. If we talk about a concentration of power, if we think about a lack of diversity, that is it. Mm-hmm. So we think that governance actually matters more than ever now, because we see regularly the impacts of a poor governance framework at the company level. We see it all the time. There is so many examples that we can talk through. So we try and encourage our investors to look beyond the noise of the media attention grabbing headlines. We do think that governance factors matter more than ever. We do think that environmental factors matter more than ever. We saw that just recently with the LA wildfires destroying all those homes in California. Insurance premiums are going to go up because of that. So we do think that these factors are real. They very much, they do impact us all. It's the quantum, I think, that sometimes gets a little overlooked.
And you mentioned there inequality, and I want to talk more about the cost of living and rising inequity. Are high net worth investors concerned about this?
I think ultra high net worths, our clients are concerned about solving some of the world's greatest challenges, and inequality is one of those. We see many, many of our clients who are also passionate philanthropists, and they are passionate about solving issues that, you know, they want to, you know, contribute to a greater good, for example. So yes, they are in that sense. Obviously, cost of living may not impact them personally as directly as it may a non-ultra high net worth, but it certainly does in terms of their philanthropic programs, their giving programs, and where they look to invest with impact, it certainly comes up there as well.
And when we talk about the link between rising costs and climate change, particularly around insurance premiums, can you tell us what your clients are concerned of in regards to that?
Yeah, look, again, so the example just now that I gave just now, just on the LA wildfires, you know, the US Treasury released a report actually the week of the wildfires that talked through the increasing cost of insurance premiums on homeowners in the US. And what it said was that those that lived in the areas that were most likely to be impacted either by flooding, hurricanes, or wildfires were paying up to 80% more than those or insurance premiums than those who weren't living in those areas. I think that Australia can look at that as what might actually happen here as well. We obviously have areas that are incredibly prone to natural disasters. We saw the flooding, or there's currently flooding in northern Queensland. We've seen it in northern New South Wales. We've all probably been touched to some degree by the impact of extreme weather, our country and nation is very vulnerable to that. So to think that rising insurance premiums aren't going to impact us and probably already have for most part is absolutely something that our clients would be thinking and considering. And so we often say that, you know, voters, especially in an election year, and we've just come through an election cycle in the US, are very focused on cost of living. But it does get overlooked a little bit, the impacts that climate and extreme weather is also having on the cost of living. Rising insurance is an inflationary factor, is an increase in costs, and is tied directly to extreme weather. So we think that, yeah, it is an important consideration for investors.
So I want to talk more about Trump's return to the White House and the fact that they have started removing references to climate change from their scientific department's policies going forward. And I want to know what kind of impact this will have on investment strategies moving forward.
Look, it's a great question. And it's not just relating to climate change. They're also removing references to many DE&I initiatives as well. Again, I would say it's really just Trump trying to polarize and, you know, further exacerbate the extreme ends of the political spectrum and the divisive nature of that, and I guess further divide the social fabric within the US. So that is what he did to get into the White House. That is what he's continuing to do. As I said, he's done it on DE&I. I mean, we've seen it just recently with the wildfires, but also with the plane crash, the two plane crashes. He came out straight away and said it was DE&I to blame for those, which is actually really, you know, and it's not just about DE&I, it's also about race. He's come out and said things about the color of the pilots, which is just, you know, it's devastating to think that we're actually moving back into a world where, you know, the color of someone's skin is actually going to make a decision about whether or not they're a worthy pilot in this instance. It's a tragedy in our view, and we know that diversity of thought, diversity of experience, diversity of many factors contributes to better decision-making, better investment decision-making, and challenges the status quo. And without it, you know, we face a world where we actually stall progress completely. So to bring that back and how we make then consider that within our investment recommendations, as I said, we still think governance, which is inclusive or social, the social component of ESG, is still very, very important in looking at the company level, but also, you know, in the portfolio construction of a fund, the investment decisions that are made. Diversity matters now more than ever, because if you've got no one challenging that, you know, authoritative figure at the top, we face a real, you know, real world consequence of moving back decades in time. And we've seen how it erratic, you know, how much it does erode, you know, the value, the living standards of the communities in which they enact it, and all of those things. The US has never been, you know, the gold standard in terms of their climate progress, but certainly not from their divisive nature of how they treat their citizens. So I think there's a huge risk in what Trump is doing. I think that removing any reference to climate change or DE&I from government policy and government websites is dangerous. They are polarizing themselves away from the rest of the world in the sense that China is at the forefront and leading the energy transition and the clean energy revolution. That is the US's biggest geopolitical rival. Those risks are big if the US continues down this path. So again, from an investment recommendation, we do suggest at this point in time, there is a lot of volatility baked into markets with these types of policy changes. So we do suggest taking a cautious approach to our clients, diversification, all of the traditional factors that matter when making investment decisions matter now more than ever. But, you know, I think that that Trump and his administration are taking a real risk of polarizing themselves and isolating themselves to the rest of the world and putting themselves back 20, 30, 40 years. You know, it is not a positive world that we live in if things like DE&I are removed from websites and policies, and certainly climate change. It's not so much about climate change in the sense that we know we're living in a warmer world. 2024, again, every year was, you know, goes down as the hottest year on record. 2024 was the hottest year. That's measured by temperature and numbers. So there's no dispute that the climate is getting warmer. It's the cause that is the dispute. So is it climate change caused by greenhouse gas emissions, which are obviously attributed to the human population? Is it just a structural shift in the temperature? Then we're seeing a change like we do with ice ages and warming periods and all of those. I don't think it matters anymore. What matters is that we are living in a warmer world. It's having real world impacts. And so saying climate change, calling it whatever, it doesn't matter. Let's look at the impact that it's actually having. And we're seeing that, you know, we see it here in Australia all the time, but we saw that just in the middle of the US winter, wildfires ripping through Los Angeles. Now, there's many reasons as to why that happened: dry weather, strong winds, a lot of, you know, bush built up because of not removing it, things like that. But the point is, these are real world risks, regardless of Trump's, you know, removing the names of things on websites. They're real world risks, and we need to take those into account if we're not careful, and if the US is not careful, they risk really isolating themselves from the rest of the world.
Thank you so much for your time today. Where can people find out more about your work?
They can find me on LinkedIn. My name is Amanda McDonald, or go to our website, which is lgtcrestone.com.au.
Until next time, I'm Rosemary Petrus, and thank you for listening to The Green Away.
The Green Away podcast is a product of FS Sustainability, a show about people, the planet, and investing in our collective future. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. The Greener Way podcast gives listeners access to information and educational content provided by discussing numerous financial sustainable options and our featured guests. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of The Greener Way are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the FS Sustainability website, fssustainability.com.au.